everybody, and welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma. Today we talk about somebody who I never knew got lost, and maybe he usually got lost, because electricity for the win. Let's go, renewable resources. Big oil, go fuck yourself. Yeah, go, you know, go listen to the episode. It's pretty fun. Henry did a good job. Bye.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? Hey, what a beautiful summer Tuesday. Wednesday, almost got you there. What a beautiful summer Wednesday.
I was about to say, that's a Wednesday, buddy. That's a Wednesday right
or
there.
Or Thursday, depending on where you're listening. Maybe
if
even
it's
Friday.
If it's not a Wednesday, go fuck yourself.
Real.
For the listeners at home, if this is not a Wednesday you're hearing this, listen, find the nearest bridge, you know what to do.
That's right. So true. What a good message to put out there.
What a positive start to an episode.
Yeah.
We're just happy you're here. That's all we're trying to say.
Yes. So welcome everybody to the Vagabond Dilemma. We pick an explorer or a figure at this point because it's been pretty varied lately. We talk about their history. We talk about their escapades, quite frankly. And then we talk about how they got lost. And then we theorized. How's it going, Rudy?
It's fine. If I, like, literally mute myself in the middle of the sentence, I do apologize. I have a bit of a... just a bit of a... bit of a little cough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you... You don't mute yourself in Audacity, do you?
But I mute the... I think the button that my headset has just mutes the any input
of
the mic.
Oh, you mute the mic. Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, I guess we'll see in the edit. Poor little me has to do that because Rudy just doesn't take responsibility for his sickness.
Poor unpaid labor for a little Australian boy.
I'm looking forward so much to when you get back on the edit, bitch. And it's going to be soon. Just don't forget that. It's going to be soon.
I never signed any contract.
I'm pretty sure I'm editing these two. I'm editing the next two. And then after that, we can do a little switch around, you know?
Yes.
All right. So, anything to report on, King? How's it been? Anything you want to say on the podcast?
Yes. I have an announcement of a century, and you'll be happy to hear this. And I heard this today. Mm-hmm. Oh my God! No, please don't talk to me. My phone. Right.
Just put it on silent.
I want to hear this.
Okay.
And bear with me on this one. It's a slideshow on Instagram, but it's a very interesting study that I found today.
Oh,
right?
God.
The researchers took a database of thousands and identified those with an alcohol dependency, right? And from studying the results, a fascinating discovery was made.
Mm-hmm.
The database then filtered down patients with European ancestry to a total of 1,263 samples.
Okay.
Dr. Sulavari spotted what looked like a connection between a person's eye color and their alcohol dependency, with the researchers checking their work three times just to be sure. They found that people with lighter colored eyes appear to have greater rates of alcohol dependency compared to people with darker colored eyes.
Uh-huh.
Greens, grays, and most of all, hues of blue were found to have the strongest tendencies towards higher rates of alcoholism, while people with dark brown eyes were less likely to do so. Obviously, no bias at all within the research. I'm just trying to say, even science says I should have been an alcoholic, and what am I to do? Like, what's a man to do? In a sense of, like, would I fight science?
Bad mentality, but I guess no.
I am an atheist and I will fight God in front of my salad every day, but science is something I just have to bow down to because it's right. The ultimate lord of us all.
So true. So what you're saying is...
I found an excuse for my alcoholism.
Alright, well, my eyes are brown, so that means I have to never drink again?
I mean, say goodbye to that juice
tea
right
I'm drinking,
now.
Yeah. Oops. Oh. Yeah, I got a Capri Sun from the store, everybody. That's what I'm drinking right now.
Honestly, Capri Sun is so underrated.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. But it was more a thing of the past than it is a, you know.
I started drinking Capri Sun the first time I arrived in the Netherlands. As in, like, I started drinking it here.
Oh. Well, I guess you had no childhood.
Excuse you. I had lovely juices made by my grandma from the plants and berries she grows herself. So I was spoiled, actually, in that regard.
Sorry to hear that.
Fucking moron.
That means your grandma could have prevented what has become, well, you.
A problem.
Well, Rudy, you want to ask me what I've been doing lately?
Or where I was? We're fine, we can move on.
No.
No, sure, lad. What you been up to?
So I went to the beach last week, right?
Oh, did you now?
I did. To the Belgium coast, which was nice. I haven't been to the beach in, I want to say, 3 years. But on the other hand, that does feel incorrect, so I'm not really sure. But that's just what I want to say, so I will say it. I haven't been to the beach in 3 years, right?
Did you swim?
I didn't. We just mainly walked and biked. I don't know. Ooh, ouch. I just hurt myself, sorry.
It's okay.
It was the government also said it's not quite swim weather yet, so you have to watch out. So it was like, alright, whatever.
What? What do they mean it's not swim weather yet? Like, what do you have to watch out? Weather?
The water is not warm enough yet.
Well, I guess this is the Eastern European mentality, but aren't I the judge of that? Is it too cold or not for me?
I mean,
this is more of a curious question.
When it's like water is a heat storage, right? In a sense. So when it's been winter, it means that the water, you know, is on the colder side, so it's safer when it becomes warmer, obviously, right?
Well, yeah, but that's so logical. Then why would government say that? Or are there some,
because not everybody knows that.
Oh, so there are some idiots out there.
Would you know that if you're just a random schmuck?
Well,
no, is the answer.
If it's water as liquid, obviously it's above freezing temperature, and for Eastern Europeans or people from the north, that's good enough.
All right. Anyway, the point being is we walked around a lot there. You know what's in the distance off the coasts of like Belgium and also the Netherlands? Are you familiar?
Wind farms?
Exactly. And when the weather was like a bit clear, you could see them in the distance. And I just want to ask what you think of that.
As in like, what do I think of being able to see wind farms from the shore?
Yeah, and also like wind farms in general.
I mean, okay, as an electrical engineering student, right, I see, how do I say this, sea wind farms specifically, or the ones placed in ocean, as one of the better solutions for renewable energy, because with sea, you literally like, okay, when you put them in land, you always have to, practically always, there's always problems with like how to place them. Do you have to do the accounting for the land, the noise pollution, sorry, and then there's always some maybe worst case scenario people relocation. But at sea, the country just draws a line. Ships don't go around here. We place the farms here. That's it.
Right. So you think
it takes
good.
Like it places? How do I say this? All the placements from the renewable resource sources, right? Or rather, collectors of renewable resources. That one is one of the top three of, like, where I would say, yeah, it, like, bothers the least. The best one, I think, is, solar panels in a desert. Right. Like, that literally, like, nobody could care less, placement-wise.
All right, fair enough. I think it sucks, quite frankly.
is this a setup or something? It feels like a setup.
You think so?
I think so, Henry.
I think it sucks, and I've always been like renewable energy, more like repoolable energy. And I think we should stick to the classics, okay? So that's why today we're going to be talking about Rudolf Diesel, the inventor of the diesel engine.
Bruh, I like when you asked the question already, I was like, this is so specific. And he, like, that I'm electrical engineer, like, by education at least. So, I was like, but you've never been interested in my opinion for anything like this. So, I'm like, what the hell is this kind of question now?
That's true. I would never ask you for stuff like this.
Yeah, because you don't find interesting stuff interesting, but it's fine.
Yeah. Keep trying to convince yourself of that, nerd. Okay. Anyway. So, topic of the day. Rudolf Christian Karl Diesel. Born on the 18th of March, 1858 in, say with me now, Rudy, Paris, France.
Wait.
But he was German.
I was about to ask that. Huh?
So, How did that happen? It was, his family was Bavarian immigrants.
I see.
So that's
where it went wrong already.
What, being from Bavaria or being born in France? Or just both?
Well, I guess, you know, a bit of both. Why not take them both by the neck, you know?
True. Alright, so he was born in Paris, where his family lived as, well, like I said, from, like, German immigrants. And his family was quite poor, right? So from a young age on, he had to work in his father's workshop. And he was also a delivery boy, truly the Uber Eats of the 19th century.
Okay. I want to hear this story, but can I just say that I'm very intrigued? How will this tie into our podcast? I'm actually intrigued.
Yeah, rest assured.
Yeah, I know. It's just I'm showing my interest in your topic, Henry.
You know what? You're kind of undercutting me, Rudy, and I frankly don't appreciate that.
Yeah, who the fuck cares about diesel? Let's talk about renewable resources and how to talk about planet saving.
We could talk about oil.
People, this
mofo. We could talk about oil, but
supports
other
big
than
oil.
That.
This small company called Shell.
Yeah. Big oil is good.
Monthly donations.
I dare renewable energies to have that banger of a logo
for Shell.
Yeah. All right. You good?
He even picked a location to live in where you look out the window. Guess what's the first thing you see? Yeah, that's right. It's a Shell station.
Good. Yeah, it makes me happy. You know, that's that meme of everything is shit, everything is dark, and then Shell walks in. And I'm like, oh my god, it's Shell.
Oh my fucking god.
Alright, anyway. He also became interested in technology at a young age, and he had plans to continue into schooling in France. But then the Franco-Prussian War broke out in 1870, so they were forced to leave because they were Germans. And France was fighting German. He was sent to his uncle in Augsburg to learn German, and at a later age also start studying there as well, and he chose mechanical engineering.
Okay, I'm not interested in this story anymore. I'll take mechanical engineering. Boo!
I guess
electricity wasn't really a big thing back then, but still, mechanical, really?
I mean, I think it was a new school as well, because it was pretty recent at that point.
Imagine choosing from all the engineering classes, you choose mechanical. Bozos!
I mean, mechanical do be kind of cool. It's crazy that, like, you're talking shit. Motherfucker, you have, like, the most boring study field in physics. Like,
me?
Yes,
people from my field single-handedly hold your future in our hands, Henry.
Oh, look at you, big men. Huh?
But then again, I'm thinking, actually, like, now, from the perspective of actual interest, you said it's 1870s, right?
I mean, at this point, when he's studying, it's like 1880s already-ish.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, as a field even, electrical wasn't a thing back then, was it?
I don't know. I mean, can I be honest for a second?
Yeah.
I did not do research on electrical engineering when doing this topic.
Well, yeah, obviously. In a sense of, like, why would you? Because if it's these, obviously it's mechanical.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I don't know, actually. I remember learning about this at some point. It was around this time that electricity like got like picked
Pop
up,
off.
I guess. Yeah, but not quite yet. Anyway, in 1880, Diesel graduated with the highest honors, and he moved back to Paris to work and later manage a refrigeration plant together with a professor that he knew from the Augsburg. Right? And then in 1890, he moved to Berlin to take over his former professor's research and also became part of several boards of directors at several companies. So I am kind of cutting the story short because there were also some parts that weren't quite clear and didn't understand. But
Yeah.
You know, you're just gonna have to deal with it, quite frankly.
I raise my can and I can I can I please? Can I? Please? Please? Can I?
What?
I did some small research just now. apparently it is the time right now, like where we are in the time schedule right now of like the 1880s and 90s, when electricity first even started becoming a thing in like homes in Manhattan only. And half of homes in US had electric power only in 1925. So yes, electricity was like a bit too early for diesel.
Yeah. And how about that's the last contribution you make about electrical engineering?
Okay, this one time where I can actually shine with my knowledge.
Yuck. That's all I have to say about that. All right. From there, he started to branch into other fields, like electrical engineering. All right, fine. You're doing your chair. That's fine with me.
I was listening. I just muted myself so you don't have to edit this out. I was literally thinking of your comfort for this, you fucking moron.
No.
Go on.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it until you start editing again. However, oh, no, wait, I was skipping ahead. He branched into other fields. He worked on a steam engine that worked with ammonia vapor. And then it exploded, and he almost died.
That's what he gets for being mechanical.
So true, I guess. And then he was in the hospital for several months, so...
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeesh. Sure. Afterwards, he continued to work on the steam engine and the theory behind it, which he considered this finished in 1892. And then published an essay called, and stay with me now, Theory and Construction of a Rational Heat Engine to Replace the Steam Engine and the Combustion Engines Known Today. So he republished that later because he noticed errors. But that was basically like some of the foundation for the diesel engine research, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
And at some point, he also realized that steam engines were too inefficient, so he started developing different techniques for fuel injection and, you know, how it generally works, I guess. Like I said, I'm cutting this short because I don't really understand most of it, and it's like, whatever. It's kind of beside the point. And he got permission to test in a factory as well, and then he was able to develop the diesel engine by 1897.
Okay.
Round of applause for Massive Oil.
No, I was gonna clap, but then you said Massive Oil.
And at this point, I think it's time for Rudy's Rocks!
Rudy's Rocks!
What?
That's right, we are doing a little intermission segment.
I wonder what the rock will look like in the context of what you told me.
You didn't think I would forget this segment, right, Rudy? You
thought it was gone. I forgot the segment, so I was not thinking anything.
Well, I've been waiting for the return. On my last episode, I had a guest. Well, we had a guest, quite frankly. Shout out Anna.
Let's run with the story. We had no guest. She just showed up and started talking instead of you.
So true. So I didn't get to do, or well, I didn't. The Rudy's Rocks, there was no time for it last time, but as I love doing it, it's back now that I'm back at the wheel. And boy, do I have one for you today.
Me?
You?
Me?
Talking about diesel and oil only makes you think of one thing, right, Rudy?
Say it with me now. Yes, but it's not the same thing as you think.
Say it.
Dinosaurs.
That's right, it's dinosaurs.
Oh my god! Holy shit! Holy Jesus Christ! I am so happy about this. Never mind, I support Big Oil if this is what I get for it. This is the dinosaur kid coming out. Holy Jesus! Just for you people at home, I was supposed to guess it, and then Henry like pastes a picture usually in the chat. So I can see what is the segment's picture today. And my guy literally posts, well, I'm not going to describe it too much just yet, but it's a fossil.
That's right. So Rudy has just got the picture.
Become oil at some point?
That would be actually really nice.
Is that your state of being that you want to achieve? Other people's nirvana is like, I don't know, like reincarnate is another animal. Like Henry wants to become oil. Pump me out of the ground, Bill.
Exactly. I want to be put in a car and then like become pollution of myself. So I sent Rudy a picture of a rock. He can have a quick look at it right now to start thinking. He will describe it to you. And then we will both come up with a name for it. If you want to see the rock, or in this case, the rock with a dinosaur fossil, send me or send us a message. You know where to get it.
Yeah. So, all right. So Rudy, the picture is, I must be honest, I don't see the shape of the rock, because the picture is like kind of zoomed in on the fossil, so I can't comment on that. However, I must say, this feels like a very, very smooth individual of a rock. So it must have been some quite excavator's work there. But the boy himself, the dino boy, spread out rather... it looks like he's like a small goblin running after something. Like, you know, because he has that pose where he's like legs spread out and the same as like the hands are always like grabby thingies. And if I'm... That's a big family of dinosaurs itself, but I might take a wild guess and say this is a Velociraptor fossil, which you could probably tell by the, I don't know how you call those in English, but the very unique feet claws they have, if you've seen dinosaur movies. But as I said, Velociraptor family is rather big, so this could have been any of the raptors there. And that being said, yeah, go on.
I will quickly interject with, I chose this picture because it was my favorite one, but I unfortunately do not have background info on what it is.
Yeah, I mean, so, that's fine. You know, can I would agree with you. Small side note, it's so crazy that with today's technology, scientists, because I watched there's a new show, no advertisement, no bias whatsoever, but people go out there and watch Prehistoric Planet. There's two seasons of it now, right now, voiced by David Attenborough, rather narrated. And they talk a bit about also, like, after each episode, they talk a bit about the technology or how they, got specific shots, and they know that this is true. Point of my being is that they literally these days look at a fossil like this, which is just bare bones. It's nothing else. It's just bare bones, right? On this specific stone, there's not even any other imprint on it, right?
Yeah.
And they are able to, from small pores within the skeleton, tell, first of all, if it was like feathered in the right region or not, like the dinosaur. And they are, in some cases, able to tell the approximate color that the feathers or the pigment had in that patch of skin, which is just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, I would say.
I will call this the... fast rock. You know why fast rock? Because it's a fossil of a Velociraptor, and I believe if you translate it from, what is it, Latin or Greek, it's the... Velo means fast, right? I might be completely wrong on this.
I mean, velocity, so checks out.
Yes. And it would be too low a hanging fruit to call this raptor rock, so I'm going to call it the fast rock.
All right. I will call it Ollie because it produces oil. Yum yum.
Fucking hell.
So, should we go to the disappearance of...
Wait, Diesel disappeared?
That's kind of the fucking whole idea of our podcast.
Okay, no, go on.
Well, actually, you know what, Diesel, this is, when I put Diesel in my car, magically, 100 kilometers later, it's not there anymore. I think that's crazy. I think we should talk about that, to be honest. That's a real vagabond
dilemma. This economy, holy shit.
No, okay. So, we ended off at 1897, right? So we're going to skip ahead here a bit to 1913. The Diesel engine was successful, right? And an impactful invention... An impactful invention that many were interested in, especially countries looking to further their war capabilities. That's right, like Rudy. Fighting. On the 29th of September, 1913, Diesel boarded the SS Dresden from Antwerp to London.
Okay.
On his way to a meeting of the Consolidated Diesel Manufacturing Company in London. So, at 10 p.m. on the ship, he goes back to his cabin. He says, hey, wake me up at 6:15. But in the morning, when he was to be awoken, his cabin was empty and he could not be found. His night clothes, his regular clothes, and his watch were still neatly laid out, ready to be worn.
Interesting. So, Rudy, first of
what
all,
do you think that happened?
Well, as always, I know exactly what happened. Before I say anything, it always is interesting when I find out about these, because obviously when talking about famous explorers, there are a lot of people who are like, we know this guy's an explorer or whatever, and we know that he disappeared. Kind of some of the explorers, you might say, are famous because of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's always surprising to me to find out that, like, people like this, right? Diesel, who invented this, like, I mean, even nowadays, like, the impact is huge that that person had on the world, right?
Right.
To find out that he disappeared, I had no idea. That's why I reacted to it like that. Because I thought you're going to tie into something else that later, like, started from the story of Diesel. But then it's like Diesel himself got lost. That's kind of... Okay.
Yeah, I was also surprised. I heard this guy come up in, like, a quiz segment on a different podcast. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to do this. Because it's a topic that I haven't heard from him a lot.
Okay. Right then. Well, you said from Antwerp to London.
That's right.
Henry, this is an interesting question. I don't know if this counts as geography related, but let's assume it does. How far down from the North Pole can we still see Northern Lights?
Isn't it just the Arctic Circle?
Well, maybe nowadays it is. But back then, 100 years ago, right? Imagine, it's a ship, right? Ships are, as we all know, redistributed in weight, so there are some cabins on the left side and some cabins on the right side, as a ship should be, right? Otherwise, well, it would just have to tip over. And anyhow, well, you see, Diesel, he knew what's up. As in, like, right. He invented the, you know, back then he was so smart, he was like, I want to kill the world. How would I better do that, right?
Right.
So he starts doing this combustion engine. He's like, I know I'm going to have a cult of people who will love me. Big Oil, Shell. Maybe he was the original Shell guy. Who knows? Anyhow. So he's there, right? But then he gets on the ship. He's there, like, you know, everything's planned. Everything's now. He's writing on his notes. And then he hears through the I don't know, like a speaker they had in the ship. The captain is like, in a rare occasion, on this night only, you are able to see the Aurora Borealis just outside the ship window. And he's there like, you know what? Kind of want to kill the world, but while it's still there, you know, the wonders of it, I like to watch. But then...
Right.
But look what happens, right? It's only on the one side of the ship, right? And it's past curfew, 9 p.m. Cabins inside, you're not allowed to walk in the corridors. And the captain is, like, really going on. It's like, you know, oh my god, people, look on the right side of the ship. You will see this beautiful green northern light. Like, just outside your window, just look, please. Cabins on the right side. And everybody on the left side is like, we want to see. The captain just goes, sorry for the left side inconvenience. Get shat on. You can't see the northern lights.
Okay.
And then the guys are like, please. And the captain is like, just for you to have a wonderful thing, the right side has caviar and champagne coming to every cabin on the expense of left side. And it's just this wonderful experience for the right side of the ship.
Right.
And the left side, and well, our boy Diesel, he will stand for this. So he is like, I will see this shit, even if it's the last thing. So... But he doesn't want to get caught, right? He's smart. He's mechanical. Back then, ships were made by what engineers? That's right! Mechanical. So he knows the ins and outs of it. He looked at the ship and he was like, I could literally disassemble and assemble this like in a week, give or take. So he unbolts the windows, bolts them back in from the other side. There's nothing happened. Everything's fine. That you didn't see that they were open. And he gets outside the ship. He's like, ah, I want to see. So he's there, like he crawls up the ship side. He goes on top of the roof. And what's there? A goddamn chimney with smoke. Can't see the northern lights. Okay. You have to crawl on top of the chimney to see the northern lights. He goes up, he crawls, and there, he steps on the ledge of the big, are they called even chimneys on a ship?
I don't know what they're called, but I get what you mean.
Yes, those big things that the black smoke comes out of. He crawls up there, he stands on the edge, and he's like, oh my god, the beauty of the world. And I'm trying to kill it. Oh no! He has this self-realization moment. And in his shock, he takes a step back and falls into the chimney. He basically gets burned alive. Because that's where the smoke comes from. It comes from something burning, right? And then he basically poetically dies from the same thing that he wanted to use to destroy the world. It's, you know, using heat energy from burning something.
What a way to go.
That probably was a more poetic way to say it, but that's probably what happened, yeah.
He died the way he was born. From nothing.
Oh.
Okay,
I was like, how did he get born from coal?
Well, his dad fucked an engine, actually. Talk about fuel injection, am I right, Rudy?
A steam engine. Alright,
well, I have a different theory. I think he was being chased, you know.
Oh.
By big whom? Renewable energy, which was already a thing back then, even though people won't tell you that.
I would like to hear what were the sources of capturing renewable energy back then.
Anyway, they were on his tail, right?
Okay.
They wanted to get him out of there because he created the diesel engine.
Yeah.
So, he retreats his cabin at 10 p.m. and he knows he's about to get chased, right? So what does he do? He gets a knock on the door. He's like, alright, they're here. I will, like, Spider-Man climb onto, like, the ceiling, you know what I mean? Like, suspend yourself with, like, your arms and legs wide.
It's like Home Alone stuff.
Yeah. And then just, like, then they come in. They're like, where is he? They inspect this stuff. They're like, okay, we have to leave it as it is.
And those renewable energy folks, they never look upwards anyways.
That's right. They're sheep. Don't look up, you know, that type of deal.
Fucking hell.
So they don't find him, and then they try to leave. But Rudolph, you know, he wasn't born yesterday. In fact, he was born in 1858. he, like, gets back down and decides, okay, I'm being chased right now. I can't have that if I'm trying to, you know, oil it up, quite frankly. So I'm just going to go into hiding, right?
Yeah.
Pretend I disappear. I'm just gonna operate, you know, Puppet Master from behind the shadows.
Okay.
So, the renewable people leave. He leaves everything behind, except for a newspaper, which he builds into a small raft for himself somehow. That's that paper mache type
origami
deal, you know?
Shit, where, like, in the cartoons,
exactly.
They just, like, small 4A page. And then, like, then they, like origami, like, a whole block out of it, you know, like 30 different pages.
Yeah, and then he sails off into the ocean, never seen again. But there's a reason why big oil kept on rising, and it's because of our puppet master.
Not to rain on your parade, sir, but maybe this disappearance is, like, everything is correct, as you said. But because he's mechanical, right? He only thinks in steel and engine and whatnot. So his mind is always like, you might steel is durable. Everything he uses in his science is always like durable. Burn this, burn that. He doesn't think about water and paper. And you know what happens to paper when water comes close to it. My guy literally made a raft, stepped on it, and 2 minutes later sank. Because it just, his raft dissolved and the ship was already out of the horizon. So he just died in the middle of the sea.
No. He made it. I know he made it.
Wait. Henry, is there a coming out story right here about your ancestry?
That's right. Call me Henry Diesel.
No, I actually know. Yo. And this is a vendetta they don't talk about.
Hmm?
Do you know about the, and that's right, electricity wars?
No.
Have you heard of the war between Tesla and Edison?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know that.
For those who don't know, I'm not going to go into the detail because we just... It's a very interesting historic development. But, long story short, back then, when people these days mostly know that, oh, Edison invented electricity, in general terms, people say that, or rather the light bulb, right? Truthfully, not. But the main point I'm trying to get here at, way back when, I believe... Also, like the cusp of 20th century, so like 1890s and like the 1900s, something like that. Two smart people, Tesla and Edison, were fighting between which type of current is better for electricity usage. Nowadays we know them as alternating current, AC, and direct current, DC. And at the time, Edison was doing everything he could to basically win over Tesla's proposal, because Edison was on the side of DC and Tesla was on the side of AC. And nowadays, as you all know, both are used and are, you know, for different reasons in different fields, one is better than the other. But anyways, but look at this guy. He, Diesel, stands against everything these two guys are worrying about, because they're worrying about electricity, right? They are worrying about a power that supposedly is pure energy. Back then wasn't, no renewable, but whatever. Anyhow, and those two fucks, they're worrying each other, and then at some point they're like, you know, it's like, you know, sword neck by neck, they're about to kill each other, because that's the war exactly what happened. Right. And then they're like, wait. And like a small paper boy comes in, guys, there's new development. And they hear about this Diesel. And they're like, what the fuck are we fighting about? If he's gonna put us out of business anyways, right? How about we bury the hatchet? So Edison was like, ah, shucks, fuck it. Okay, he takes the hatchet, goes buries in the garden, because he's a very literal man. and then him and Tesla sat down at the table, and they're like, okay, what are we gonna do with this chap, huh? This can't go on. If we gonna make electricity a thing, this chap has to go. God forbid back then. They would hear about other fuel sources. They just thought about diesel. But so anyway, so they hatch a plan. They hear from their sources in Europe that he's about to take this ferry, right? They has to go to London. In reality, they are the ones that called him to London. It was a fake meeting. But they are like, he's a smart boy. He's a smart boy, right? So he already probably suspects something. But we're going to be one step ahead. Let's do the fake meeting. But we are also, it's like an Orient Express. We are going to be on the ship, right? And we're going to kill him in the ship. So, plan is quite easy. Just, you know, quick in and out. Just stab one or two times. Out, pop. Nobody's going to know. Who's going to know? Nobody. Actually, back then, Edison was also big on experimenting with DC on electrocuting animals in front of people and crowds, especially elephants. So, you know, my guy probably just was walking around with staples to just like 3,000 volts to the nipples right there.
Okay.
And back then, nobody knew about electricity. Nobody would have known. Nobody would have known what would have happened to Diesel, because they were like, could this happen? Because, you know, if electricity is just becoming a thing, if somebody dies from electrocution, back then you don't know what that was.
Right.
So anyways, they have a perfect plan. Right. It's a perfect crime, right? But what happens is, in the midst of their plan, they misplace the room number. Or rather, mismatch the room number. So they go in, it's dark, they spray it on the door, straight like, you know, corks, electrocute somebody, it's like, you know, go out, close the door. They didn't know, because it was dark, but they killed somebody random close to the room that Diesel was in. And Diesel heard it. He was just very conveniently, you know, like, I just listening in on the neighbor's conversations, because he's like a little sicko. He likes not his own drama. What else are you going to do on a ship when you're locked in your own room, right? Like, at least something to talk about, or rather...
Right, he's a voyeur, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. So he's listening, and he hears that. He's like, oh shit, it's those two fucks. Aha, I knew it! So, what he does, he lays everything perfectly. Perfect crime, right? As in, like, he wasn't even there. Then, quickly, he opens the door. Left, right, nobody's there. They're probably gone. They're gonna return to the crime scene tomorrow, just before dawn, to maybe take off the body. He doesn't know. Gets out. Quickly, and then, because he's smart, he goes to the ship, gives the ship side, that is, railing, goes to the signal, 3 times like an owl, 5 times like an eagle, and then a submarine raises from the bottom.
Wow, how convenient for him. If he had that option all along, what the fuck was he doing?
Because he wanted them to think that he was dead, right?
Right.
He wants them to think he's dead because he can then work the rest of his life, you know, on his stuff without being afraid of them.
Right.
So, jumps into the submarine, gets down, and the submarine is these days, it's running on diesel, that's right. But he was still in the process of optimizing the system. And in the middle of the ocean, literally mid of Atlantic or wherever he was going, guess what happened? Henry, oh no, it ran out of fuel. It ran out of fuel.
No!
So, and then, he sank. He was trapped in his own creation and sank.
I like how this dude is like, for half of the stories we've done so far, he's like a mastermind for the first half, and then the second half he's just like a fucking dumbass, like, oh, I forgot the fuel? Whoopsie. Anyway, Rudy, I have one final theory as you're coughing your lungs out right now.
It's because of the big oil.
I'll keep it short, but picture this.
Sicily, 1912.
Not quite. It's the year 2500. You're in the North Pole in the water.
Okay, okay.
That's right, because all the ice has permanently melted. Picture this. A bear with fins and, to be honest, a rad pair of sunglasses.
What the fuck is this picture?
And he's talking to his buddies like, he's like, fuck, you know, in the past, back in the day, we had it all. We had an ice, we had, like, such a vast home, and it was taken from us. Now we have these ugly ass fins, you know. We have to do something about this.
if only any animal, even human, would talk about evolution like this. Imagine back then, Henry. Like, we just sat on the tree, edges, fruits, you know, fur all around, walked around naked. What a life that was, huh?
Exactly. And so his polar bear buddies were like, "Yeah, well, conveniently, we have just invented the time machine like yesterday." So, if you want, my finny buddy, we can, you know, make it happen, quite frankly.
Oh my god! This is the best story we've had so far.
So, they did a little research into Rudolph's background, because they were like, okay, let's target the creator of the diesel engine. But because of historical record inaccuracies, they didn't know exactly when to go. So, they were like, okay, 1913, good enough. Let's go.
Spitball it.
So they, you know, teleport in. Now you have to imagine it's a polar bear with fins in a trench coat and a hat. Right? And he's like talking to the humans like, do you know where Rudolph Diesel is, bro? I want to say hi.
I'm just a normal human, just like any of you.
And so after Rudolph disappears to his chamber, the polar bears break in, shank his ass, quite frankly. And then, you know, they teleport out again with the time machine. Mission accomplished. And you know what happened in the year 2500 subsequently, Rudy? Mm-hmm. We may never know. Let's find out in 500 years, huh?
That's true. But how do you think time works, Henry?
What do you mean?
Are you the believer that if you change something in the past, the time now would also change? Or are you the believer of a theory that, like, let's say I go now with the time machine and change something in the past? The time now, as for example for you, nothing would change, but I would create, like, another timeline, so to speak.
I think that another timeline is the most logical.
Yes.
Because I like the first theory as well, but in that case, that's just another timeline, basically, right?
Yes.
It has already happened in this timeline.
Yeah.
That's why he already disappeared, because, you know, polar fins were
And that's right, people. I made Henry explain Avengers Endgame, his favorite movie, right now, right here. Go watch it, people. Hasn't done it just yet. We got him, chaps.
I will censor it. Yeah, nice try. All right, that was all. Yeah, it's all been wiped. It's all been wiped. Yep, I did. I already have.
Own it, Henry.
Nope, too late. I would have done it if you didn't include it.
You set this up so perfectly.
No, no, no. Listen.
You can't stand with your own failure, can you?
No, no, no. Don't even start with those, like, quote references either. Listen, what I'm saying is, I was okay with it until you, like, literally plugged it, and at that point, yeah, I will censor your ass.
No,
you know what? I'm gonna censor it out with this soundbite. Rudy is cringe! Rudy is cringe! And that on repeat until it's fucking done, alright?
He explained Endgame in detail, people! Avengers,
you can keep saying it, I can keep censoring
Marvel
it.
Cinematic Universe! Don't let my voice get called out, people!
Yeah. Nice try.
I will fight for the fans out there.
Anyway, resolution, real quick.
Sure.
Before leaving, Diesel had given his wife, Martha, an envelope that said it should not be opened until a week later.
Because there was big stacks in there.
In there was $120.
There
Sorry,
you go.
120,000 USD in modern, like, equivalent. And bank statements which said, yo, your bank account is empty, bitch.
What the fuck?
He also had a diary on the ship, which had the 29th of September 1913, so the day he was on the ship, marked with a cross, indicating, possibly, a suicide.
Is there any indication why he would have done it if it would have been a suicide?
No. But 10 days after his disappearance, his body was found in the Schelde, which is the river leading up to Antwerp, also partly going through Zeeland in the Netherlands. And other theories to his death are that it was an assassination plot, and perhaps he already knew this was going to happen. That's why, maybe, you know.
And then, back then, they couldn't understand how he died. But yeah, it was electrocution, shockingly. Rather shockingly, actually.
Nice. So, because Diesel had previously refused to give Germany the sole use of the diesel engine.
Honestly,
and he was on his way to meet with British Navy officers to talk about using the diesel engine for them as well.
Honestly, for me, then this, like, that's pretty much it, isn't it? Like, it feels like...
I would say so.
Because back then, that was the general practice of this, right?
I mean, that is, like, by far the most making sense, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they couldn't stop progress, because his invention still went on to change the world.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. Yeah, kill someone, you give it your best shot.
Yeah,
all right.
And they gave it the best shot, and they didn't miss, so...
So... Thank you, everybody, for listening. That was the end of the episode.
Thank you, Henry, for explaining Avengers Endgame. MCU.
You can keep talking. Like, I will. Like, you are bleeped out. Like, I don't know how funny this is.
You can't keep censoring me for everything I say. That's just...
I will,
listen,
though.
This is not an even playing field. How can
it's
you
not.
Shit on me and I can't shit on you, huh? How is this... you know what? This relation doesn't work. We need therapy. Next episode, we're going to therapy. Special.
I'm glad to hear that because you have the next episode prepped, so I'm happy to hear
that
you have all that. Alright, anyway, if you want to send us a message, please contact us at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com, so just the name of the show @gmail.com. If you want to send Rudy a personal message,
go to Instagram and type in the search bar 000RUDY000, so that's 3 zeros, Rudy's 3 zeros. Give me more personal feedback. If you're an MCU fan, please do let me know. We can bond. And if you're an Italian,
censored.
Even better, come from my back entrance. That's right.
What the fuck are you on about?
Can I just say, by the way, I'm vibing with Italians.
I'm happy for you, Chief. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, it is well done. It's just a shame, though, that I'm about to try and at least finish this year, and then, you know, but that's a different topic for a different time.
Just backdoor him real quick. Alright, anyway.
Really?
You can also leave feedback on the Spotify thing, I think, still is up. I'm not sure. That's Rudy's responsibility. Tough luck.
It should be. Honestly, right. I haven't checked in a while, but it should be up because it's an automated
okay.
thing.
in that case, leave feedback there as well. That's it. Thank you for listening, everybody. Goodbye, and stay oily. Yum, yum.
Thanos won an Infinity War, just saying.